Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests. You join us here for the offering of this Mass at the Church of the Madeleine. You're always welcome to be with us in the future. Please know that I will not be available to hear confessions on Tuesday evening. I have a commitment on the other side of the city that day. I will be available to hear confessions over on Wednesday from 5 to 6. And please know for our Theology Uncorked event with Father Elkin Gonzalez on Thursday evening, the topic is creating a culture of vocations. He is our vocation director as well as our vicar general for the diocese. And a sign of a parish that has life and vibrancy is a place where men and women can come and they can ask, they can pray, they can discern about what role that the Lord is calling them, what life the Lord is calling them to live. So he's going to talk to us about that, and guests are welcomed to be with us on that evening, as well as a guest on Friday night for our last of our summer movie nights, Snow White. Children of all ages are welcome to take part. Hope to see you then. Now, speaking about vocations, this last Wednesday we hosted a special event here in the parish, the annual Mass and dinner sponsored by the Sarah Club of Tulsa. For our diocesan seminarians, for those in formation for consecrated virginity and religious life as brothers and sisters, along with their families. Now, the Sarah Club is a group of laymen and women who work to foster and support these vocations, and the patron saint is for this group is Saint Junipero Serra. He was an 18th century Spanish Franciscan missionary and to present-day California, and I happen to be the chaplain to the Sarah Club. Now, the special event on Wednesday included special music and a special guest, the newly ordained Bishop David Condorla. Now, it was a wonderful, happy evening, and thanks to all who helped to make it happen. Now, there was a follow-up the next morning that was quite unexpected to all this. See, on Thursday morning, a little after 9 o'clock, I'm in the parish office, and I'm enjoying my second cup of coffee, and I look up, and coming through the door of the office is our newly ordained Bishop David Condorla. And the first thought that entered my head was, what are you doing here? And the second normally would have been, am I in trouble? You know, because you don't normally expect your boss, your supervisor, or your bishop to show up unannounced when you're only halfway through your second cup of coffee on a weekday morning. Now, fortunately, my mental filters were in the on position. I didn't say what I was thinking. And also, something about his body language and demeanor told me immediately that I was not in trouble, which was true. I was not. See, what had happened, that Bishop Condro had left his hat here the night before. And he was going over to see somebody at St. John's Hospital down the street, so he swung by to see if he could find his hat. Now, to make a long story short, he and his hat have now been reunited. So we're all happy, happy ending. But is it not often the case that when someone in a position of authority or power, such as a supervisor, a boss, a parent, teacher, coach, pastor, or a bishop, walks in on us unannounced and unexpected, our first thoughts may well be, what are you doing here? Followed by, am I in trouble? Now, the other side of this equation is, for if you have been that person in a position of authority and you walk in on an individual or a group who are probably doing something they should not be doing, you know pretty quick by the body language and the demeanor that something is up. Because our basic attitude of how we act and our basic attitude behind it says a great deal. And so does today's lesson in discipleship that Jesus is teaching us from Luke's gospel, which Jesus not only teaches us how a disciple should act, but also what is the basic attitude of a disciple? What does it mean to take up the cross each day and to follow him? What does it mean to be his church? Now remember, previous lessons we've heard on previous Sundays have taught that disciples are to have certain characteristics, such as trusting in God instead of material wealth, living the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, generously caring for the needs of anyone and everyone, not being distracted by being anxious and worried about many things, but staying focused on welcoming and listening to Jesus, and also to be persistent in prayer. These have all been characteristics of disciples. And today's lesson begins with those wonderful words that are repeated over and over and over again in the Scriptures. Do not be afraid. They're repeated over and over because we need to hear them over and over again. Do not be afraid. Something we must always remember. And also with it that we must always remember that the infinite desire of the human heart is for the infinite love of the God who creates us. No amount of wealth, pleasure, power, status, and material goods will ever satisfy this desire. And the fundamental disorder within ourselves and within the world comes from trying to satisfy this desire with something or someone other than God. To be a disciple is to understand this. To be a disciple is to accept it, to get it, as we might say in today's language. And it also means to live it out. Often imperfectly, yes. But we keep trying. We keep at it. Seeking to be in right relationship with Jesus, that inexhaustible treasure of the kingdom of heaven, which neither thief nor moth can destroy. This is the basic attitude of a disciple. To be a disciple is to live this out. And not only in anticipation of the judgment we will face at the moment of our individual death, not only in anticipation of the last judgment on the final day, as vital as they are, but also in anticipation that discipleship is ongoing. It is the daily experience in which the Lord comes to meet us, checks up on us, so to speak, each day. It is an anticipation of the daily encounter with Jesus, the daily encounter with grace, the daily encounter with that inexhaustible treasure of the kingdom of heaven, that we are to be faithful disciples. In the parables that Jesus uses to make his point, notice that the servants who are watchful, meaning that they are prepared with prayer and faithful to the responsibilities entrusted to them, they have no cause to be afraid when the master returns, unannounced and unexpected. They are not the ones who look up halfway through their second cup of coffee on a weekday morning when the boss walks in, unannounced, and thinks, "What are you doing here? Am I in trouble?" The faithful servants have nothing to fear when the master returns. It is their cause for joy. They look forward to it. It is the mark of being a disciple that we look forward to the coming of the Lord, not only in the last day, but also at the moment of our physical death and also every day. Each day, Jesus comes to us, presenting to us the offering of grace and mercy. It is the grace and mercy with which He loves us and calls us into right relationship with Him. It is the grace and mercy that He offers to us from the cross, the blood and water flowing from His side. It is the grace and mercy that He offers us from the altar, His body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist. It is for those who are unprepared, not living as faithful disciples, that when Jesus comes, He will be like a thief in the night. It is for those who neglect or misuse the responsibilities entrusted to them who have cause to be afraid. For to be a disciple, to be the church, is to be entrusted with that treasure of the kingdom of heaven. It is a gift not just for ourselves, but to be shared with the whole world. We're not a club. We're not a political action committee. We're not a lobbying group. We're not a non-governmental organization. We're the body of Christ, the church. To us, beginning on the day of our baptism, is entrusted the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Not just for our own good, but that we exist to offer God right worship and to draw the entire world into this gift. That is our sole reason for existing as the church. Jesus has not come to die on the cross and to be raised from the dead so that we can simply be nice people. I'm fine with being nice. I'd rather have people be nice to me all day rather than to be rude. But he died on the cross and was raised from the dead to make us disciples. Disciples to whom much has been entrusted. Sharing the good news of the kingdom. As we hear in the Old Testament book of wisdom, it is here that we put our trust, our faith, our hope, that we might have courage and not be afraid. For as disciples, the Lord often calls us into places and situations we would rather not go to. The New Testament letter to the Hebrews tells us of Abraham and Sarah, these two great figures in the Old Testament book of Genesis. They leave their home, they leave their security, they leave their family behind, and they go to a far country, not completely certain where they're supposed to go or what's going to happen. But they place their trust in God to be faithful to those divine promises, and God is, even in the most unlikely of circumstances. This married couple, Abraham and Sarah, are faithful to the responsibility entrusted to them. To be disciples, to be the church, is to do the same, especially in difficult situations, especially at times we feel alone, isolated, that we find ourselves entrusted with living and sharing the treasure of the kingdom of God. We are to be faithful. We're not to be afraid. To be disciples, to be the church, is to do so in faith, in hope, and in courage. It is to look forward to the daily encounter with grace, with the only one who can satisfy the infinite desire of our hearts. He is the one who is the cause of our hope, the focus of our faith, and the source of our joy.